They were probably trying to be helpful. Your parents, your teachers, your guidance counselor, and all the other people who offered solicited and unsolicited advice on your future. Well, maybe their well-intended wisdom on what you should do with your life isn't what you need to get on the right path. Laura Gassner-Odding is the author of Limitless, How to Ignore Everybody, Carve Your Own Path, and Live Your Best Life. She joins us now from Boston to talk about purpose in work and life. Hello there.
Hello.
This is a show about getting a handle on your money so you can live the life you want. And I think there is enormous relevance for both of these topics to come together when it comes to personal finance. Please tell me you agree, or we're just ending it right here.
No, I absolutely agree. In fact, I think that ambition is one of the best words in the English language. It gets a bad rap, but I've decided that if more money, more power, more access allows you to show up better for the people you love and the causes you hold dear, then it's not your ambition, it's your responsibility.
You have had, you could say, a traditionally successful career. You started out in the Clinton White House. You've done all sorts of extraordinary things. What was the personal insight for you that led to this book?
Well, over that career, 20 years doing executive search, I interviewed thousands of leaders at the very top of their game. They were super successful, which is why, as a headhunter, of course, I was talking to them. But none of them were all that happy, which is why, as a headhunter, they were talking to me.
Right.
And I was so intrigued that if success doesn't equal happiness, well, then how on earth are we going to find it? And so I started looking at the people that I saw who actually were happy, and I started looking at my own career and the specific moves I made in order to find happiness while I found success. And what I realized is that it wasn't fulfilling everybody else's checkboxes on everybody else's path to everyone else's definition of success, but figuring out what actually matters, what actually means something to us, and then leaning into that instead.
You say that means achieving consonance, which is not k, b, d, and t. It is consonance versus consonance. It's not consonance, it's consonance. What are the dimensions that you talk about when you talk about consonants?
Well, so consonants is its alignment, its flow. You know, Bruce, you know those moments when you feel like everything that you can bring to bear, the things you love to do, the things you're really good at, are being called upon to solve the problem at hand, and you're being rewarded for it?
Totally, and I look great at the same time. I look great at the same time. Like, my hair is perfect, my pants fit, yeah.
And you're being rewarded in some karmic financial way that is meaningful to you. Those are the moments when you're in alignment and flow, when you're in consonance. Those are the moments when you really feel limitless. And that's really when the what you do matches the who you are. And what I found is that it doesn't actually come down to this question of the brand of the company you work for, or how inspirational the leader is, or if you're getting, you know, wine on Wednesdays at happy hour, although, you know, that does make people pretty happy. Mm. And it doesn't necessarily come down to money. It comes down to what the money means for you. So if you're somebody who likes to take really fancy vacations in beautiful European cities and you can jet in and out, it doesn't take a lot of time, but it takes a lot of money, you're going to want to make more money, but you're not necessarily going to need more vacation. If you're someone who likes to go deep into the woods and spend lots of time communing with nature, it's not going to cost you a lot of money, but it's going to cost you a lot of time. And so if you look at the value of a job, you have to look at the value of the job to you and what that money is going to buy in the life that you want to build, instead of just chasing the fastest and most expedient path to the corner office and the bigger salary and the fancier title.
You break out some of the dimensions here: calling, connection, contribution, and control. A lot of people are interested in control, at least how it relates to, you know, the work-life flexibility that they can have. How does that weave into this idea?
Really comes down to personal agency. It's how much control do you have over how much the daily work that you're doing is connected? How much connection do you have to the calling you want to serve? And that calling, we think about calling as purpose, right? This sort of higher, lofty calling. But calling can be raising a family. It can be building a business. It can be growing a bottom line.
Good, because it's too late for me to become a priest. It's not happening. It's just not happening.
Exactly. So, you know, it's how much can you control that? how much the hustle that you have is impacting the bottom line, and how much can you control the contribution that it's making to your life. So if you work harder, if you work longer hours, if you take on a bigger, a bigger geographic area for, you know, your business, are you going to make more money? And is that money going to allow you to live the lifestyle that you want, build the career trajectory you're looking for? Is it allowing you to manifest your values on a daily basis? And so studies have shown, actually, that people are willing to take a job that gives them more control versus more power, because personal autonomy matters to us.
There are people, there are listeners who will hear the title of the book, who will hear you talk, and mostly what they will hear is white urban privilege. Like, wow, who's this amazing person who can be limitless and do with the ever the holy heck she wants? How does this apply to people who are struggling to make ends meet? And on many days, they're just happy to have this terrible job so they can make their mortgage payment.
So I would say, number one, we all have things that we can do today. So that means, that's, my son talks about the side quest, right? The side quest in video games. So if the main quest of the video game is to go to the castle and save the princess, slay the dragon, save the princess, if you can't do those things now because you've just got to pay the mortgage, or you've got sick parents, you've got young children, or any of those things that are real, there are things you can do today that are maybe not directly on the path, but are, you know, going to the market and selling your wheat so that you can buy the horse and buy your sword, so that when you're ready, you can jump on the horse and slay the dragon and save the princess. And those are things like watching TED Talks, reading books, taking online courses, listening to radio shows like this. There are tons of things that we can do today that increase our optionality, so that when we are able to actually make a change, we can make that change, number one. Number two, I also think it's important to recognize that if what you want to do is to become financially independent, you want to pay your mortgage, you want to put money away for your kid's school, you want to finish a degree, if that's how the work is contributing to your life, then that's actually great. So we have this definition that success has to be these jobs of purpose, these jobs of meaning, these big titles, these big fancy whatever it is. But if there is a life that you want to build, then creating a career, having a job that allows you to build that life, can make you limitless, because it's actually allowing you to build the life that you in particular are looking for.
You have this great twist on the metaphor of voting, and listening to all these votes that people make about how you should live your life. How do we stop, and is democracy dead as it relates to our career?
Well, I like to say it's a benign dictatorship is probably better.
Right.
I think we have to stop giving votes in our lives to people who shouldn't even have voices. And that means all the people along the way who have said, like in my case, gee, you're a really argumentative young woman, you should become a lawyer, right? Of course, I told them that they were wrong.
Well, you're argumentative. Of course you told them they were wrong.
But I was in fourth grade, and then I still created an educational path that put me on a road to law school, where I got there the first day, and I thought, I've made a huge mistake. I don't belong here, because along the way, I was giving votes. And what happens is that when we're 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, we're asked to pick a career, to pick a path, to pick a trade, to pick a college. And here's the thing about being that age, we don't have a frontal lobe at that moment, you know, like the actual part of our brain that determines good decision making. And so we're asked to make these decisions that will impact the rest of our lives before we're actually capable of making good ones. And so I want people to stop giving votes to people who shouldn't have voices, but I also want us all to know that maybe you're 5 years out, maybe you're 10 years out, maybe you're 20 years out, and you're at a place where you go, you know, the life that I built looks right on paper, but it's not actually right for me. It's not affording me financially the things that I want to build the life that I need. And it's okay to change. It's okay, because I'll tell you, in 20 years of doing executive search, the most interesting people, in fact, the only interesting people I talked to in 20 years were the ones that made left turns and right turns and U-turns, because they were the ones who figured out what they cared about and then found the passion inside of them to go after that.
Wow, I love it. I want to sneak in one more question here. Some people limit themselves because of money. They say, listen, I just can't do it because of this. How can they overcome that specific hurdle?
Well, I think that they need to decide whether or not they want it, right? I feel like money is a resource. Time is a resource. Like when somebody tells me they're busy, I don't hear I'm busy. I hear it's just not that important to me. If it's that important to you, then you will figure out a way to find the money, whether it's doing it a little bit later where you can earn more money, it's giving up other things you don't care about as much, but it's creating priorities in your life so that you can afford the things that actually matter to you, and then being okay about the stuff that doesn't.
The book is called Limitless, How to Ignore Everybody, Carve Your Own Path, and Live Your Best Life. Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you.